This is Senior Talk, presented by Heartfelt Care at Home on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 AM and 92.5 FM. Here is your host, Greg Koopman.
Good morning and welcome to Senior Talk, presented by Heartfelt Care at Home and Total Care Connections, right here and only on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, 92.5 FM. I'm Greg Koopman, your host for Senior Talk, founder of Heartfelt Care at Home, Colorado Springs' most trusted senior in-home care provider. Be sure to visit us online today at heartfeltcareathome.com. Joining us in the studio this morning, our friend and probably one of the most frequent guests here on Senior Talk over the years, 9 years now, I think, Kent Matthews with the Pikes Peak Area Council of Governments Area Agency on Aging Family Caregiver Support Center. Kent, I did it. There you go.
Yay! I'm proud of you.
Welcome back to Senior Talk. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much. It's so very good to be back. Thank you.
It's been a while, you know. We're all in this strange new season. It's like halfway normal, but very Twilight Zone, like parallel universe feeling. So it's good to get somewhat back to normal. It's good to have live, real people in the studio here. For those listeners who maybe haven't heard you in the past here on Senior Talk, probably new listeners to Senior Talk if they haven't heard you before, but give a little recap. You know, share with our listeners a little bit about your background and how you ended up where you are today.
I'm not going to let my wife answer that question. So I've been at the Pikes Peak Area Council of Governments Area Agency on Aging for the last 14 years. And I've been doing their Family Caregiver Support Center. The Area Agency on Aging is unique. Every county in the country has an Area Agency on Aging that serves it. And we serve a three-county area, which is El Paso, Teller, and Park counties. And our purpose as an Area Agency on Aging is to assure that there are services to help seniors remain independent and in their homes for as long as they desire, and also to support family caregivers, which is where my program comes in, which is the Family Caregiver Support Center. And what we do at the Family Caregiver Support Center is basically help family caregivers figure out the puzzle of caregiving, how to make the dance of caregiving run smoother. We have a voucher program where we provide vouchers to give caregivers a respite or a short break. And we have 16 or 17 home care agencies in the city that participate in the program to help caregivers get that break. And thank you very much. Heartfelt Care at Home has been one of the long-standing supporters of the Caregiver Respite Voucher Program. So thank you very much for helping our family caregivers with that. And then we also help them with that initial emotional support, how to help them figure out why this is making them feel so crazy. Why isn't it as easy as what they thought it was going to be when they started out the task? That's basically what we do.
And I always say, you know, somebody should write a book about this. And then I say, well, they do write books about this, but they're always wrong. So, you know,
I've had people say, Kent, you ought to write a book. And I have been trying to think about the unique angle, because you're right, all of the books that I read don't get down into the depths of the emotional stuff. And I think that's what makes it being a family caregiver so unique, is it brings up all of the emotional stuff that they hadn't even thought about.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Area Agency on Aging, what a wonderful hidden gem of a resource. In our community and in most communities, I say typically across the country, you're going to see, you know, regional area agencies on aging. What is unique about ours is not all of them have the family caregiver component, which still amazes me, or at least not to the depth that you all tackle here at the Family Caregiver Support Center. So that is a fascinating just resource in general that our community needs to use more and use more proactively, right, than they do. And let's get your phone number out right now. I want to make sure we do that a couple times today. But how can our listeners get in touch with you if they're in that family caregiving role and just looking for guidance?
So the best number to call is the same number that's on the front of the yellow book, which is the Senior Information and Assistance Directory, which we publish as well. And that phone number is 719-471-2096. and they can just ask for me, Kent Matthews, and I'll get the phone message, and we'll go from there.
I have them on speed dial. Utilize that information and utilize that phone number. So you mentioned the term family caregiver. Mm-hmm. What is, who is a family caregiver?
So by definition, a family caregiver is an unpaid person in the community who's providing some kind of support to another person. So it could be a neighbor. It could be a friend at church. It could be an aunt or an uncle or grandkids. Anybody who's not being paid, and they're providing care assistance to another person. Typically, usually it falls into the realm of it's an adult child or it's a spouse. And I'm seeing more and more grandchildren, adult grandchildren, getting involved in caring for grandparents.
Now, you know, as a family member, you know, we do a lot of things for our loved ones to help with just day-to-day life, especially as our loved ones age and, and get older.
Right.
In your experience doing this, I mean, do you feel oftentimes family caregivers have a hard time identifying themselves as a caregiver?
Right. I've had conversations with family members, and I say, so you're the caregiver. No, no, I'm not the caregiver. I'm the son, or I'm the daughter, or I'm the husband. They don't identify with that term, being a caregiver. They identify with the role that they have with that family member, whether it's the adult child or the spouse or whatnot. But they really don't identify with that term caregiver, which I think is one of the reasons it's so difficult for them to reach out and to ask for that care, because being in that role, they see themselves as having the responsibility of doing it all themselves, because we have a lot of beliefs and values that kind of interfere with how well we do as a family caregiver.
So let's help listeners who maybe have not yet identified themselves as a family caregiver. You know, what are some of the common scenarios that you typically see where a family caregiver is involved with care?
So the one that I go to almost immediately is the phone call, and it's the daughter, and she has just moved dad from a different state. Because dad was either in a care facility, and the care facility, he was declining in the care facility, or he was living alone, and he wasn't taking care of himself, and all of his friends were no longer in the picture. And so the daughter got very concerned, and then moved dad here. And
On a whim.
Or, it's on a whim, but the whim is being pushed by love, wanting to keep dad safe, wanting to make sure that dad is functioning as best as possible, kind of a thing. So then they move, and then they find out when they get here that they didn't have the full picture because it was long distance. So they didn't know how bad it really was with dad.
Sure.
And then when dad gets here, they find out that now they have to look for a new doctor. And a lot of times what they don't think about are things like making sure that the Medicare will work correctly in Colorado. So where do you go to do that? Where do you go to find the doctor? I've had family members frustrated because they've started with their family doctor, and that family doctor says, I don't take Medicare, or I'm not taking new Medicare patients. And then they get concerned about the medication. How's that all going to work? And that's just really the tip of the iceberg, because now there's other issues that come into play. Dad may have multiple chronic illnesses, which then may make it difficult for dad to get around. How am I going to get dad to his appointments? How am I going to make sure that, because I still have to work, so how am I going to make sure dad's okay while I'm at work? Dad has some memory problems. Didn't know he had the memory problems until he moved here. And I'm concerned about that. That's kind of typical kind of scenario. The other way to think about it is it's like a plate of spaghetti, and the caregiver's trying to figure out which noodle to pick up, and it's all globbing together, and they weren't prepared for that.
rotini. You get rotini, and it's easier to pick up than actual noodles. So that's the solution. But I mean, everything you described is a common scenario that we see out there, and probably one of the more common ones, like you described. And you know, I think the old data used to say, you know, that you know, once you hit 65, you know, 75% or more of people are going to need care. To some degree, some sort of help with those things that you just described. It used to be upwards of 80% of that care is right. provided by family caregivers. Are we seeing an uptick with that now these days as people are living longer, as people are kind of diving back into that caregiving role, maybe even acknowledging, I am a caregiver?
Right. So, yes, we are seeing an uptick with it. And part of the reason we're seeing an uptick with it is, to quote a former governor who I just heard on news recently died, Governor Lamb, and when he was governor, this is a paraphrase of his quote, medicine has taken away all the easy ways to die. And so medicine is keeping us alive longer. But the other thing nobody's really looking at is medicine is keeping us alive longer, but in greater and greater and greater states of debility. And that's what nobody's prepared for is, yes, they know that mom and dad have chronic illnesses, but what they don't know is as those chronic illnesses continue to progress, mom and dad are going to become more and more debilitated. They're going to require more and more care support. And that's the huge disconnect. And that's where at the Family Caregiver Support Center, we shine the light on that and we say, be prepared for that. Because this is coming, and we help the caregivers get connected to that and begin to understand that reality.
Fantastic. Let's get your phone number out real quick, and then we'll take a short break.
Phone number is 719-471-2096.
We'll be right back. Hi, Greg Koopman here, host of Senior Talk Sundays right here on KRDO News Radio. Are you a caregiver or a healthcare professional looking for a company that appreciates what you do? Are you tired of working for low pay, no benefits? Heartfelt Care at Home, Colorado's leading senior in-home care agency, is hiring now for compassionate, experienced caregivers to provide one-on-one care for our clients in their homes. We offer top pay, unlimited work, and industry-leading benefits. Apply online today at heartfeltcareathome.com. Welcome back to Senior Talk right here on KRDO News Radio. Our friend Kent Matthews with the Area Agency on Aging Family Caregiver Support Center. So glad to have you in here this morning, Kent.
Oh, it's so good to be in here again. Thank you.
We need to do our more frequent shows. It's been at least a year, I think, since we've had you on. So glad to have you in here.
Thank you.
You know, before the break, you know, we really kind of dived into to what a caregiver is, what a family caregiver is, rather. But, you know, let's shift gears a little bit here. I want to dive into exploring some of the more emotional issues and challenges that make caregiving difficult.
Right.
You know, what sort of impact are you seeing when you talk to these family caregivers? You know, what sort of impact do we see caregiving making on their lives? You know, work or stress or relationships? What are we seeing happen?
So what I see happening a lot is the shift is coming because the caregiving is beginning to challenge unstated, long-held beliefs and values between the person, the family member receiving the care, and the family member giving the care. And, you know, from a clinical standpoint, that you know, they talk about, you know, role reversal, role changes, all of that. But for me, that's part of it. But for me, it goes into another facet, which is the values that we hold as individuals has an impact on how well the caregiving goes. Because those same values can be instilled, mom and dad probably instilled some of these values in their adult child.
Right.
But how the adult child is expressing those same values has a different feel and different meaning than what the parents hold. So those values are constantly being challenged.
Sure.
Back and forth. I mean, like, There's a number of them that come to mind. One is work hard and you'll be successful. It's a value my parents instilled in me.
Absolutely.
And I think it's a value that our parents instill in a lot of us. But that value, work hard and you will be successful, subtly sets caregivers up. because what it does is the son or daughter, even the spouse, is working to make the outcome successful in the caregiving. What they're not factoring in is it's an uphill battle because their family member has multiple chronic illnesses, and so working hard is not going to change the progression of the chronic illness.
Which goes to the question, you know, if you work hard, working hard, A, is different in every scenario.
Exactly.
But B, success may not even be possible.
Exactly.
Or the definition of success is not what we want it to be.
Exactly. But if you're not aware of that value or not questioning that value, you go to the default of, I'm going to work harder. And if that doesn't work, I'm going to work harder. And so the caregivers have a tendency to keep working harder and harder and harder and harder, and they're not getting the success that they're seeing, and there's nobody there to call them on that value and to say, why isn't this working? It's not because you're not being successful with what you're doing. It's the fact that you're trying to do something you don't have in your power, the ability to change by your working hard.
An unrealistic definition of what success is.
Exactly.
Which goes to the question, then, if we don't know really what success is, or if we're not clear on what that is when we start the caregiving journey, if we don't know what success is, then do we really know what failing is? And then to address, is it okay to fail?
Exactly. Exactly. And then the other subtlety with this success in working, all of these interplay with each other, and they need to be looked at and thought about. Part of working hard to be successful,
right,
may be in the mind of the caregiver, the fact that if I'm successful at this, mom and dad aren't going to be so debilitated. Because the other value we hold in our society is being independent. And we're not really comfortable in our society of people who have disabilities. So one of the goals for working hard to be successful is to keep mom and dad from becoming disabled.
When you get that word, I'm independent, and I can take care of myself. Mom's always taking care of herself. Right. So throw that, you know, I always call it fierce independence, the fiercely independent nature of our senior
yes.
population, right?
Of all of us,
of
really.
Of all of us,
yes,
right.
All
we want to do for ourselves.
Yes.
So being fiercely independent from a care recipient side, how does that play? Well, I mean, you can say from the caregiver side too. How does that desire to be independent from a caregiver side and from a care recipient side, how does that collide? And what kind of scenario does that create when you have two people fighting for their independence to not want to ask for help from a caregiver standpoint and not want to receive help from a care recipient standpoint?
So the older I get, the more I realize I'm really a visual person and I think visually. And so as you were asking that question, the image that popped into mind was, think about two male bighorn sheep and they're charging at each other, heads down, and then you hear the loud clap
yep.
and the boom that resonates through the canyon because, you know, their horns have butted. So that's the image, in reply to your question, that's the image I have in mind. You have two people that are butting heads. And the sad thing is like the two rams that are butting heads, their focus is on each other, not on how to change what's going on to stop the butting. I recently put together a piece that's on our website called The Puzzle of Caregiving. And in one of the phrase is that stability requires change. So what that means is if you've got two people butting heads, they're butting heads because they don't want to change because they want things to remain stable. Okay? In reality, because of what's going on with the chronic illnesses and everything, that's forcing change that they don't want. But in order for them to get the stability back, they have to embrace the change. They have to live with the change because that's the only way they're going to get to a new stability.
And then the obvious answer is people don't like change.
Well, yeah. None of us do.
So then we fight it and we resist it.
Yeah, yeah. But and that this whole concept I learned when I was doing hospice work, because our society teaches that you've got to fight it. You've got to fight it. You've got to fight it. Well, what happens when you're fighting it is you're not living. Because if you really think about getting into a fight with somebody, what do you have to do to win the fight? You have to concentrate on the other person. Yeah. But as you're concentrating on the other person so you can win the fight, you're not aware of everything that's going on around you. So you're missing life, literally missing life when you're fighting so hard to maintain something you can't maintain. And the only way to live is to stop the fighting and embrace. And our society teaches us, along with the fighting, if you're not fighting, that means what? You jump automatically to the opposite, you're giving up.
You're giving up.
And my hospice career, which taught me this, in which I was strongly influenced by that, and I bring all of that into my work at the area agency with the Family Caregiver Support Center, is that there's a third option. And the third option is, I'm not going to fight, but I'm not giving up. So what's the third option? I'm going to live with it. And that's where, at the Family Caregiver Support Center, we help caregivers start that process. How do you live with this, make the best of it, so that you can get back to that stability that you and your family member crave? Now, the other thing that makes this difficult is the caregiver may get it, but their dance partner, mom or dad, don't get it. And so that's why I oftentimes talk to the caregivers and about they're in a dance with their family member. And I'm not talking about, you know, the modern dancing where you're apart from each other. I'm talking about the ballroom dancing, the foxtrot and the box step and all of that, you know, where you're holding your other person and somebody's got to be leading. And if somebody's not leading, both people are stepping all over each other's feet and creating pain and misery and not enjoying the dance. And so part of this embracing the change is you have to begin to work out who's leading the dance and how long is the caregiver going to allow mom or dad to lead the dance, and then when do you begin to shift that so that now you're leading the dance, or when do you, if dementia and cognitive loss aren't involved, how do you work it out so that both of you agree that sometimes I'll lead and the other time you'll let the other person lead? But it's this dance and these values, living rather than fighting or giving up, all of those values have to be addressed and figured out, because if you don't address them, you're going to continue to be stepping on each other's feet in the dance and it's not going to go well.
Wow. And you got to learn the new dance in the middle of the dance you're in.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now you know why we love having Kent here on the show. We're gonna take one last break and we'll be right back. Hi, Greg Koopman here, host of Senior Talk Sundays right here on KRDO News Radio. Are you a caregiver or a healthcare professional looking for a company that appreciates what you do? Are you tired of working for low pay, no benefits? Heartfelt Care at Home, Colorado's leading senior in-home care agency, is hiring now for compassionate, experienced caregivers to provide one-on-one care for our clients in their homes. We offer top pay, unlimited work, and industry-leading benefits. Apply online today at heartfeltcareathome.com. Welcome back to Senior Talk. Our friend Kent Matthews with the Area Agency on Aging Family Caregiver Support Center. Wow. What a great conversation on the nuances of family caregiving. And, you know, it's a loaded question for me to say, you know, why do people have a hard time asking for help? But it's obvious because we're fighting that independence. Mm-hmm.
Or other values.
Or
as well.
Other values.
Right.
So I would say this, you know, as we're kind of diving into some of these emotional factors behind caregiving, you know, we see that one, it's more blessed than it is to receive. I have to. It's my role to do it. Family takes care of themselves. These phrases that we see, is everybody appropriate to be a family caregiver? And is there a time in which you acknowledge it's okay for me to not be in this caregiving role?
So you ask multiple questions, and like when my wife does that, I'll say the answer to the first question is
yes, no, and maybe.
So the answer to the first question was should everybody be a caregiver? No, and then the answer to the second question was yes, and that's one of the beauties of the Family Caregiver Support Center, is because I've had those consultations with family caregivers where at the end of the or near the end of the consultation, I'm saying, you know. It dawns on the caregiver, I really shouldn't be the one providing the care to my family member. But I am, because, that's who mom and dad chose. The pattern I've seen over the years is oftentimes when the caregiver is struggling the most with all of the emotional stuff with caring for mom or dad, it's because they were the black sheep of the family. And that has always fascinated me.
Yeah.
Why mom and dad go to the black sheep of the family and ask them to step into this role. And sometimes it's convenience because the black sheep is the one that will, oddly enough, answer the call.
Answer the call, be available.
Yeah, and put their life on hold and come back to take care of mom and dad. But that then raises all kinds of interesting dynamics between, because they have those issues, mom and dad and the black sheep of the family still have those issues that they have to work with, but then the caregiver has those issues with their siblings to work through as well.
Interesting.
Because they're getting calls from siblings who, oddly, it's not odd, there's a reason why the siblings are no longer living in the area, because they moved away from mom and dad for all of the reasons, yeah, kind of a thing. But they're calling and giving they're not supporting the black sheep. They're calling and they're on the back of the black sheep because they're not doing it well enough.
Interesting.
They're failing, because if they were doing a better job, mom and dad wouldn't be sick. And that
goes
back
to the unrealistic expectations of what success looks like.
Yes, 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 yes. And so, I mean, all of that is put together. So there are caregivers who shouldn't be. And then your second question was,
when's the time to say it's okay not to be the caregiver?
Right. Okay. So when is the time? That's the call of the family caregiver. I have had consultations with family caregivers where I have suggested that they stop being the caregiver.
Yeah.
And then they come back and say, but if I stop, then who's going to be there to take care of mom and dad? And I said, that's not your responsibility.
Yep.
Well, yes, it is. No, it's not. That's the responsibility of mom and dad. That's the responsibility of other family members. That's not your responsibility to figure out. I've had caregivers who have admitted halfway through that they've been in counseling, primarily because of the relationship because of the family member they're taking care of. And they've said, my counselor has told me not to be the caregiver. Now you're telling me not to be the caregiver. And then the pattern begins to sink in. And I've had very, very difficult conversations with family caregivers. But even though they're difficult, the thing that the family caregiver appreciates the most at the end of that is somebody was being honest with them.
Yeah.
It wasn't, friends, neighbors, the well-meaning person shoveling more you-know-what onto them in terms of their responsibility just because they're the son or the daughter.
Right.
And they appreciate knowing that there's somebody who tells it like it is and doesn't pull the punches. And I've had caregivers tell me I do that.
But, honesty.
Yeah. But
it goes a long way.
They're very appreciative because for the first time, they are now able to see the situation for the way it really is, not the way that they want it to be, or not the way that, they're trying to reach this idealistic outcome that has been created for them by society, or by family, or by siblings, or whomever it may be, even by their church.
Yeah.
you mentioned it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's another value. I grew up in it. My first career was a educator in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and that was one of the tenets. It's more blessed to give than to receive. But that value sets caregivers up for failure.
Yeah.
Because it deep down it says you give and 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 give. And there's literally no ending to when you stop giving.
Yeah.
As a former educator in the Lutheran Church, I taught it's more blessed to give than to receive, but I never taught when you stop giving.
Yeah, there's a point when there's nothing left to give. Kent, wow. This is probably one of our more in-depth conversations, and of course, we're limited on time.
Can we go on?
No, I wish, and I'm sure our listeners do. So everybody who listened to this, we will have Kent back on soon. I promise you that, to resume this conversation. But Kent, thank you for jumping in and joining us on this topic today and diving in. What a helpful and tremendous resource to our community and people who are faced with that family caregiving role. Get your contact information out one more time.
Contact information, phone number is 719-471-2096. And in the message that you leave, just ask to speak to me, Kent Matthews. The website is ppacg.org. Click on the Aging Services icon, and then that'll take you to the Aging Services page, and you can click on the Family Caregiver icon there. So that's one way. And if you want to send an email to me, it's the letter, first letter of my first name, which is K, and then Matthews, M-A-T-H-E-W-S, at ppacg.org.
Kent, thank you again, my friend. It's been a pleasure having you on.
I've loved it. Thank you, Greg. It's great being back.
Absolutely. Before we go, I want to remind listeners you can find out more information about Heartfelt Care at Home online at heartfeltcareathome.com or by giving us a call at 719-362-0094. Again, that's 719-362-0094. Be sure to join us next Sunday and every Sunday at 8 a.m. right here and only on KRDO News Radio for another edition of Senior Talk presented by Heartfelt Care at Home, a Total Care Connection Family Company.